the Lord. No, really. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he?
All the time.
You're good. Praise the Lord. Gosh. You know, I was driving in here today, and I got to tell you, this talking about the Holy Spirit and preaching the Holy Spirit series that we have right now going on is just fantastic, isn't it? How many of y'all been experiencing more of the presence of God since we've been focusing on the presence of God? Amen. You know, I used to travel with Andrew Ministries doing the Holy Spirit room, and we would have prayer ministers, and we would pray for people during the conference. And it was 5 sessions over 3 days. And the prayer ministers, each session got better and better results. Why do you think that was? Because they practiced. Not only did they practice, but because the audience and the prayer ministers were getting their minds all focused on the same thing. And after the first meeting, you're all coming from different places, and your heads are all in different places, and your situations are all different, so you get a little bit of results. And then the next time, you spent the night there, so you get a little more closer together in your same way of thinking. And by time the fourth meeting comes around, you're seeing miracles like crazy, because everyone starts getting on the same page in the presence of God. Does that make sense? Right. So, this world is designed to hypnotize us from the things of God, right? It's to get our focus off of the things of God and onto the temporary and onto self, right? So what we do by taking this whole year, wow, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, He Himself, and being around Him and with Him, I am sure it's like a wet piece of wood that's been out away, and you bring it close to the fire and let it start drying out a little bit, steaming just a little bit. Pretty soon, that wood's dry enough that you can put it on the fire and it'll burn too, just like everything else. Amen? So as we continue focusing on the things of God and the kingdom of God and on the Holy Spirit Himself, we will start seeing more and more and more results. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God is not a Las Vegas slot machine where you pop in the dollar, you pull the handle and go, come on, Lord, give me a healing. Come on, here it comes. It's not like that. It's relationship. It's relationship, amen? And a lot of us have come out of bad relationships. We've been hurt in relationships, and we've dealt with a lot of uglies, and we've carried wounds. And so for us to learn how to lower our guard with God, do you got to actually lower your guard with God? You actually do. To actually be truthful with God. You mean, you cannot be truthful with God like you're not truthful with some people? Mm-hmm. To trust Him that He wants good for us. That He'll only do good to us. You know, we can all say, of course. But sorry, it doesn't work. Like I said last week when we were all together, that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. No, what self-control. We're talking about self-control. And the only way you can get it is through associating with the Holy Spirit to get the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, right? If we don't have joy flowing out of us, we are not spending time with God. Because He is joyful. How many problems does God have? None. How many bills does God have? None. How many bad relationships does God have? None. How many burdens does He carry? None. He is full of joy. He's full of peace. He's full of love. He is those things. And the more I associate with Him, the more I see that stuff in my life. Amen? Amen. None of that was my message. None of it is. But you guys know me well enough to that doesn't mean anything, right? Doesn't matter what I wrote. So here's the thing. We're going to take a year and spend time with the Holy Spirit. We're going to take this year and really see the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And then we, by rubbing shoulders and being together, can all catch on fire together. Hallelujah. Because I'm telling you the truth when I say that this place is a habitation for the kingdom of God. And that the people that come here are becoming more and more and more aware of the reality of heaven on earth and of the things of the Holy Spirit. And we are becoming the manifest presence of God. And it's by us being open and receptive to these things that we start enjoying these blessings in our lives. Amen? Amen. How many of you will take all of your savings, all of your retirement, and all of your jewelry and nicest things and walk down to what we call the hood and just give it to the worst person you can find? Who would do that here? I'd like to meet you. The worst person you can find.
The most desperate need or the most vile?
Your own judgment. Your judgment. Your judgment. How many of you would do that? God did it for us. Seriously. He gave everything for you and me. In fact, it says he paid twice as much. Do you know there's a finite amount of sin that has been committed and will be committed in this world? There's an actual number. If you can number transgressions against God, there's a number. And he paid twice that. So our sins are completely forgiven. They're completely eradicated as far as God's concerned. So where's the problem at? In the stuff that we carry. In the way that we see it. In the way that we will allow the goodness of God to saturate our hearts and minds. We are the ones that are resistant to the things of God. So hopefully over this next year, we will all be saturated in the love and the goodness of God that we can really let down our guards and just catch on fire. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to pray. So if you will close your natural eyes, open your spiritual eyes, hear me with your natural ears and your spiritual ears, and just let the inside of you get really big. Let all eternity fill your heart and mind. Let all of God that you can become aware of him just be present with you right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're becoming aware of your kingdom. Father, we're becoming aware of your plan for salvation and for our individual lives. Father, we are laying down the things of this world, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. We're laying these things down, Lord, that our love for you, Father, would be evident by the relationship that we have with you. That, Father, that we would be the ones that manifest the reality of the kingdom of God by believing you and having fellowship with you. Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, for teaching us, for enlightening us to the truths of the revelation of Jesus Christ, that you're bearing witness of Jesus and teaching us and counseling us and protecting us and raising us up as mature sons and daughters. Thank you for being with us and never leaving us. Never speaking evil of us, never giving up on us, never ever looking at us sideways. But you bear all and you hope all for us, Lord. So, Father, I ask that the words that we teach tonight would go deep into the hearts and the souls of the individuals that could hear my voice, Lord, that we would be seeds planted, that we would grow, that we would manifest the fruit of the kingdom of God in our lives. And Father, I just ask for us to be glowing testimonies of the goodness of God as we go out in our days, whether it's to our jobs or shopping or whatever we have to do in the world, Lord, that we would radiate your goodness and your splendor in the lives around us, Lord. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, what we're going to talk about today is being perfect. Isn't that exciting? Let's see what Jesus says about being perfect. Turn with me to Matthew 5:48. Of course. Would there be any other place to start? So this is Jesus, and he's in the red. And he says this, if you're with me. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Starting off with something easy for y'all. Amen? Amen. Something for you easy. So, you know, even if the word perfect, which it does, it means to be complete or to be mature, we're comparing it with God himself. We need to be at the same level that God's at. How many think that's exciting? How many of you think it's something you need to aspire to? How fast can you get there? Huh? As fast as you can let go, he says. What do you guys think? Think he's right? He's right. I'm going to also talk tonight about hating evil. Isn't that exciting? Do you know God tells us to hate evil? He absolutely says, hate evil. Let's go to a scripture with me. Hate evil. Psalms 97:10. Psalms 97:10. I'm going to start. You who love the Lord. How many is that in this room? If you love the Lord, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Let me read another one. Just write this down. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord, we normally say, is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? You know what else it is? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and an evil way and the perverse mouth I hate, says the Lord. Amos says this, Amos 5:15. Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate. It will be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And then we'll just bring it home to Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Isn't that exciting? Hate, abhor, detest evil. Which was the reference? The Amos one? It was 5:15. Psalms 97:10, Proverbs 8:13, Amos 5:15, and Romans 12:9. I'm going to share something with you tonight that is very exciting. At least it is for me. And I'm hoping that you will feel the same way when we're done. How many of you are looking forward to the Battle of Armageddon? Okay, let me say it another way. I'm going to say it a couple of different ways, okay? I used to be the guy. I'm just being honest with you. Love being honest with you because we're real people that are actually walking this stuff out. I used to be at a place where I was afraid to cast out a demon because I thought the demon would get on me. Okay? Because I didn't know what it would do. Would it jump on me? Would it make my life all crazy? Would I have to fight demons for the rest of my life if I cast one out? I didn't know. So I didn't want to do that stuff. Until I actually saw how they were robbing people and really destroying people's lives. And especially when I had one that had to be cast out and I didn't even know it. But once I saw it and what it was doing in my life, I was able to make it go. So I had to grow up a little bit about that stuff. Then my next little tribulation that I had to go through was I really going to be in heaven for all eternity? Was I good enough? Was I doing it right? Was I going to be in heaven? Well, I remember one day in Bible college, I knew I was going to be in heaven forever, and no one could ever, ever, ever take that away from me. Growing in stages. Okay? Then I had to come to this one. When they were talking about the rapture, that we were going to get taken out of here because this really terrible Antichrist was going to be here and do these horrific things, and there's going to be famines, and there's going to be starvation, and all this bad stuff is going to happen. One third of the population is going to die, and there's going to be plagues. And it was like, I was freaking out. I wanted to go in the rapture. I don't want to live through that stuff. Anybody else ever felt that way? I have a totally different opinion on it now. Because I'll tell you what, I am really seeing evil at work now. I'm really seeing clearly evil at work in the world around me. And I hate it. I hate what it's doing to people. I hate what it's doing to families. I hate it. And I want it eradicated. So now I'm happy to join in with the Lord and the angels and do some cleanup here on the planet. Amen? So it's a growth thing. And the Lord tells us to hate evil and to be perfect even as He is perfect. So then I came across this thing. It's called a conundrum. How do I do that? How do I hate evil and be perfect at the same time? Because in my mind, hating something makes you bad. You know, you're not supposed to hate. You're supposed to love people. I didn't say hate people. I said hate evil. There's a big difference. Who was that Asian man that had a church of 10 billion people? Dr. Cho. This is what he said. If we have a demon manifest in church, we throw out demon. If demon won't go, we throw out man and demon. Did you get that? We separate the evil from the person. But when the person won't let us separate the evil from the person, then the person and the evil has to be dealt with. Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. We hate evil, not people. But when people refuse to separate what they do that's evil from who they are as a person, then you have no choice but to deal with it all as one thing. Send it on its way. Does it make sense? We don't have anybody like that in this church. Thank God. No cleanup here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because truthfully, I'll just be honest with you. Real evil hates the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it gets very uncomfortable in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And since we're pressing into those things, the real manifestation of the glory of God, those things get all creeped out. They start shaking and twitching and getting all nervous, and they fly out the door. I'm just going to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story? We had a friend. Okay, this is a new story. We have a friend. My wife and I have a friend. I can't say names. But this girl, we've had a relationship with her for a while now. And there's a couple here locally in the Warner Robins area, and they have a ministry casting out demons. And I can tell you they are very, very effective because I watched them cast out a demon out of a person that I knew who was involved in satanic rituals. And it was really bad. I mean, think of the worst thing, and they did that. Okay? And this demon would not let her go. And she's a regular person, can handle just like everybody else, but was always being plagued with things. And this spirit of torture is what it was. And it got cast out. It didn't want to go. It made a big scene. You know how they do. And it didn't want to go. But it had to go, and it went. Amen? Took a while, but got it out. You just got to stay on it till it leaves. So then it's out. I mean, the girl's set free to this day. She's just totally set free. But I'll tell you what. I had one of those little rascal moments when my eyes are big as saucers, you know, when the reality that this stuff actually exists and people are in bondage to it around me, and how much of it I just allow it to be so because they defend their position as a person. But the truth of the matter is, they're really in bondage and they can't get free. And when I saw the reality, when I was able to mirosmos, to divide asunder, like in Hebrews 4:12, to see, separate the two and see them, oh my gosh, my heart just went out. And I said, Lord, you have to help me because I'm not there yet. I'm not mature enough yet, or I don't care enough or something to want to be skilled in this arena. Okay? It takes us really deciding to grow in an area. It doesn't just happen by chance. You grow in an area by putting your time in that area. How many are skilled at something you do to make money? Were you born with that ability, or was it something that over time it grew and you matured in it and you got wisdom in that arena and now you prosper in that area? Same way with the things of God. Same way. That's why different people are drawn to different things in the kingdom of God and different manifestations of the kingdom of God. So, all that to say this. I had a friend who wanted to get free. She was in bondage. I mean, really bad. And she wanted to get free. And she got into the situation where she could actually get free. And when she actually got in the presence of the man of God, that demon ran her off. Do you hear what I'm saying? She ran away. She left. Because that demon knew, because this person had such a track record of success, that he was known in the kingdom of darkness as one who expels demons. Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, and this couple, I know. Who are you? Right? That's a real principle, you guys. That's a very real principle. And a lot of people, Lord, I didn't want to talk about demons. Where did this come from? Where the heck did this come from? You guys are drawing it out of me. So anyway, here's the thing I want to get to. Hating evil is more than just saying you don't like it. It means that you are so set in your heart that you won't tolerate it at all in anyone around you. Does that make sense?
I'm confused though when you said ran her off.
Oh,
ran the woman off?
The woman, yes.
Ran her off.
From,
got her off track from who she was?
No. Let me back up. I left some part. I'm trying to keep it private. Okay. They were in Abba House. She came and checked herself in for a 90-day thing so that she can get her bearings back again in her life because it got so far out that when it came time, those girls are getting set free from some things there. When this girl found out, she didn't even know. She was just walking to the building to go have their group time, and that spirit in her knew something was wrong, and she started pacing back and forth. And then when the girl saw her and said, she's the one, and he walked out there to go help her, she ran off the property and down the street and ran away. Okay? The demon drove her away from being delivered, from a safe place. Okay? Sometimes they have more sway over a person than a person can overcome. Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're a prisoner. They basically get to the place to where they're a prisoner and they can't be set free. Okay? I'm not saying God can't set her free. I'm saying that for the most part, she was, for all intents and purposes, a slave to that thing at this time in her life. She really was. So my whole point is that to separate a person from evil may not always be easy, may not always be possible. There really are evil people in the world. I didn't want to believe it. I truly did not want to believe it. I wanted to believe that everyone was basically good, and given the right set of choices, they would make good decisions. That's not true. That's just not true. And I had to take the blinders off of my eyes because that is just not true. There are people that will protect the garbage that's keeping them a prisoner. They will. They just will for whatever reasons. They don't want to be shamed. They don't want to admit it. They can't believe it's happening to them. I don't know what it is, but we all have different things. Amen? And so, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. I got myself into a hole, and I don't even know how I got there.
Devil made me do it,
Bobby. No. So being perfect. Okay, so here's what I actually wanted to say, and I'll say what I wanted to say, and then I can come back on it. You already are perfect. You already are complete. You already are lacking absolutely nothing. That's a fact about you. You have every bit of God inside of you that you'll ever get. You have every access to the kingdom of God that you can possibly ever get. There is nothing withheld from any of us. Nothing. But that doesn't mean we're enjoying it ourselves yet. That doesn't mean that we're walking in it. That doesn't even mean that we can access it because of the way we identify ourselves, what we say to ourselves, how we think of ourselves. So when I say be perfect, even as God is perfect, people, in my experience, including myself, more at some times than at others, are saying, that's impossible. That's God. Because I still see myself according to the flesh from time to time. Anybody else do the same thing? But the truth of the matter is, in my spirit, my redeemed person, the invisible person, the person that's going to live forever in the presence of God, that person that is not bound by this flesh, but happens to reside here, is absolutely powerful, uniquely created, and absolutely pleases God 100%, and has every bit of the power that Jesus Christ had when he walked on the earth. Because we have complete access to the Holy Spirit 100%. But it's according to our beliefs. It's according to what we will allow to be true for us. Are you with me? So God, remember the Old Testament that says that he gave them the land, but he only gave them a portion to begin with so that the beasts of the field would not multiply against them. Are you familiar with that story? So what he did was he said that they need to occupy this piece of area that he gave them, and then they can increase to inherit more of what they've been given, right? That's how the kingdom of God operates, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. That's how it works. So what happens is we end up being successful in a little bit of the kingdom of God. We find a place where we're getting perfect results or very, very good results. And then we build on that. Amen? Like if you want to believe God for finances for an area, maybe you get good in that arena. Or for faith for healing, maybe you get good at that arena. Or maybe for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you get good at that arena. Or maybe knowing the Word of God and having the inspiration of the Word of God, and you get very good in that arena. There's some place that you excel in the kingdom of God, that it's your sweet spot, your easy place, amen, where you do very, very well in the kingdom of God. Grow from that spot. Be perfect there. Be mature there. Be complete there. And then what happens is you get an anchor for your soul. You get a safe place, a stable place. The kingdom of God, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that he's going to once again shake heaven and earth. And anything that can be shaken will be shaken. Does that make sense? What he means by that is this, is that anything that's not solidly rooted in life, everlasting life in the kingdom of God, is going to be toppled over, is going to be destabilized, is going to have the carpet pulled out from underneath it, will be burnt up by the presence of God. So we need to be stable on the foundations of what God has given us. So once you've got your stable place, that you are consistent, you are successful in that area, and you excel in that area, then what you do is you start stepping out in other areas and increase to inherit those places too. Are you with me? Everyone I know, and if you're an exception, please raise your hand. I am completely open that there are exceptions. But they are exceptions. They're not the rules. That most people have to learn how to follow the Holy Spirit. You can't automatically, I'll just be honest with you. In America, you can't even perceive that there is a Holy Spirit without God's help. You can't look out in our public school systems and say, there's a Holy Spirit out there. I see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The world does not see the Holy Spirit. They can't comprehend him. There's nothing that they have with the Holy Spirit. They can't connect with him. It takes a person that's born of the Spirit to have relationship with the Spirit of God. And God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Is that true? Not the God of flesh. I read to you last week that we have come to Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, and all that it says there. We've come to that. We haven't come to Mount Sinai anymore, where God spoke with booming voice, terrifying everybody, with fire and black smoke coming off the mountain. That's the God that spoke to flesh. He had to do that to get through to flesh. But he don't deal with us like that anymore. Now it's Mount Zion. It's heavenly Jerusalem. It's the spirits of just men made perfect. That's you and me. We are in that company now. And we have to walk in that company as perfect. Not as flawless. That's not what I said. As mature and complete people, right? And the way that happens is by patience. Patience is what is an awesome thing that God gave us. And here's what the value of patience. You have faith, right? And when your faith is tested, in other words, it doesn't come just like that. When you're talking about the different kinds of grounds, there's one type of ground that get offended when the word of God doesn't happen just like that for them, because they're really shallow-rooted people, okay? Patience is the coolest thing. God is so smart. Patience lets you get to the heart of what you believe. You won't get to the heart of what you believe if you don't stew in it and wait for it. If every time you said, thus and thus happen, thus and thus happen, and you also, guess what? You'd be a magician. You'd be, I dream a genie or something. You know, you'd be a fantasy person. It takes, honestly, remember how I said about relationships? What makes you think that if you are not transparent with the people next to you, you're going to be transparent with God? What makes you think if you can't be completely vulnerable with the person next to you, that you're going to be vulnerable with God? You're not. Your heart is your heart. It doesn't change when you go someplace else. It's still you. You know, I was once told by a person that, Robert, no matter where you go, there you are. I couldn't get away from myself. I thought moving every couple of years would help. It doesn't, because I bring the problem with me. It's the man in the mirror, because I bring him with me. He's the problem. It's me, the way I think, the way I see it, the way I believe is my only obstacle. Because as I taught you last week, that, you know what, I have had situations in my life that I've absolutely turned them around by deliberately planting seeds in the way that I speak and think in the mess of it all, and I started planting what I wanted instead and making myself shut up and quit squee-weeing about the whole thing. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was bad. Yes, I wish nobody else would live through it, but I was living through it. And so I had to actually get through it. The Bible says it came to pass. It didn't say it came to stay. It came to pass. Amen? He didn't take us out to bring us back again. He's taken us all the way to completion. So none of this is going to be here forever. It's all temporary, and we're walking through it into the fullness of his glory. Amen? And so the thing is to really, really see yourself the way God sees you. Quit being so hard on yourself. Find out what the Bible says, and then start planting those seeds in your heart and your mind. Okay, I want to let you know, this is not by the Spirit of God. It's just because I know people, okay? Some of you got issues. Some of you actually have issues. And you know what? Some of you protect your issues. I know you. Tell you what, like I said last week, fruit of the Holy Spirit comes from fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. I eat fruit. You eat fruit. We know if the fruit of God is in another person's life or not by being around them. Amen? You'll know a tree by its fruit. Period. What you manifest is your relationship with God. Straight up. So this next year is going to be so awesome. Where does the time go? It's going to be so great this year coming up. I didn't even get to my perfect scriptures. But let me stay in James for 1 minute. I'm in James chapter 4, by the way. Chapter 1, verse 4, in case you don't know. that you would be perfect and complete. Let patience have its perfect work, that you would be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Right? Verse 4. Where verse 3 is about faith being tested. Your faith being tested, right? So be perfect, hate evil, love people. Be perfect, hate evil, love people. None of it is behavior. None of it is behavior. All of it is what you say to yourself in here. All of it is what you think about yourself. All of it is the truths that you and I live by. Whatever they are, you decide what your rules are that you have to follow. You decide them. Maybe your mother started it, or your father started it, or your teacher started it. Somebody started it, and you said, oh, that's the rule. Got to follow that. And you do. I'm not saying don't follow rules. I'm saying we all have rules in our hearts that we follow. And that's our conscience, and God holds you accountable to your conscience. Did I say that? God holds you accountable to your conscience. And when your conscience gets a different set of rules, he'll hold you accountable to those. Are you with me? So you follow the law first. Everybody's under the law in some place or another. Everyone's under the law until faith comes. When faith comes, you're no longer under the law. Now, we can say that unilaterally across the whole planet, because we say, because Jesus came, paid the price for our sins, we're all free from the law. We're all in grace now, right? Unilaterally, as far as the Bible, legally, that's true. Now we've got to deal with experientially. Experientially. Your conscience is your rule keeper, and God holds you accountable to that. And as you get a revelation of Jesus Christ, your grace, the grace and the rules in your heart will now become aligned with the kingdom of God, and you'll start operating according to that set of rules, which is love, right? Which there's no law against love whatsoever, and now your conscience is now connected to that, and that's what you live by with confidence and boldness, loving people, knowing that you are perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Are you with me? Therefore, when evil presents itself in whatever form it does, and I'm not even going to throw anything out there, it will present itself, and it probably does present itself. Your spirit will automatically rise up inside of you, and you will hate it without even trying, because it is diametrically opposing the Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord, Robert. That's really good. Hallelujah. I love your rabbit trails. Glory to God. You know, this morning was a three-mule kick morning. It was a three-mule kick morning this morning. It was pretty darn good. It was pretty darn good. So, I got one tonight. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. So here's my point. You know how I talk about that we have to live according to faith? And that we have to increase to inherit? And that patience gets your heart down to what you really believe. Can I give you an example of that before I turn you loose? Is that all right? So that you can actually use this piece of information. So, can I use you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. No, I'm just gonna dog on you from there, because you can't quite reach me. Let's just say that Matt is desperately sick, fatally sick. Okay, and I've been asked to pray for him. Okay. So we've got a couple of pressure points on that. One, me, is God going to do it through me? Do I have the power myself? Will it happen now? Will he die? Matt has the pressure on him. Well, This is, the doctor says it's terminal. Nobody's ever been cured from this before. Well, I'm going to get prayed for. Let's just see. All this stuff is there, right? So now we get to see what's actually in our hearts. We both get to see what's in our hearts. He, if he can be set free, and me, if the manifest presence of God takes place here. Right? So I go and I pray for him and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Matt. I speak against whatever that ailment is, I'll name it, if I know what it is, and I'll tell it to get out of his body and that he be healed in Jesus' name. Amen? Then I just listen to the Holy Spirit, and if there's more, there's more. If there's not, there's not. Right? But the next day, he gets worse. I mean, feverish. He turns colors. His wife starts calling around. I'm telling you, Matt is so pale. He is cold. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not projecting anything on here. You all right? Okay. So, did that prayer work or didn't it? What a wonderful opportunity to see my faith being tested, to see what's really inside of me, to see what I really believe. Now I can see if I have a crisis of belief inside of me or not, because now it got worse after I prayed and not better. So what do you do now? You ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, it got increase comes from you, not from me. What do you want me to do? So I want you to go over there and I want you to speak to it again. All right. Go back over to Matt's house and I speak to it. And I tell it to go and I say whatever the Holy Spirit says to say. And I say, all right. What else, Lord? That's good. Okay. I'm following the Lord. So then I go back home and just as I walk in the door, my phone rings. And his wife calls me and says, he died. Eugene, why are you laughing? Don't laugh.
Eugene, you can't
put me. I can tell you, my prayers were just stronger than yours.
Oh, snap! Snap, snap, snap. Wow. Now I get to see what I say in my heart. What do I say after I heard that news? What happens inside of me? Say, Holy Spirit, I could be pacing and wringing my hands and going, Lord, where were you? I did what you asked me to do. I followed your instructions. I prayed the way you told me to pray. What am I supposed to do? Go raise him up. Me, Lord? Yes. Okay. How many of you all would like to see a dead person raise? You know, in this case, please raise me. Listen, raise your hands back up again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. I see 27, 28 hands. I see 28 hands up. And there's 31 people, my hand too. Do you know that in order to see someone raised from the dead, something has to take place? One of y'all have to die. Somebody has to die. Seriously. I'm not saying God would cause him to die. I'm saying that patience is having her perfect work here. So then I go over and I come in and I lay hands on Matt, and I command him to rise in the name of Jesus. Nothing happens. Paramedics get there. They're wheeling him out. I say, Lord, what do I do? He says, do it again. I go, but all the paramedics are there, and all the professionals are there, and they're all buzzing around and doing their thing. He says, do it anyway. Well, they won't let me. Do it anyway. Okay. So then in front of paramedics and everybody, I say, Matt, in the name of Jesus, get up off of that gurney. And he wakes back up again. Right? Three ambulance drivers get saved right there on the spot. And Liz gets her wonderful husband back. Amen. I'm telling you what, patience is a magnificent thing of God in order to get really down to your real heart's belief so that you can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Are you with me? You have to get the unbelief out, and you don't know what you got in you until you're in a pressure that exposes it. Just like the Old Testament, 10 times they tested God in the wilderness, right? For us, so that we could see how squirrely the flesh is. Amen? So what we need to do is be perfect, be complete, be mature, be completely furnished and finished in our inner person and walk it out in our flesh, no matter what evil stands before us. Amen? And once we do that, you will automatically have the attention of the kingdom of darkness and of men and women on the earth, because there's something different about you. You've become immovable because you're now operating on what cannot be shaken. Does that make sense? So no matter how they hit you, no matter how they come at you, no matter what they say to you, you are an immovable object because you're established in your place in the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? I love you guys. I love you very, very much. Amen. So, you know, I told you to wear your comfortable clothes today because I was going to have a holy rollers class. We're going to practice rolling around on the carpet. But people didn't want to do that, so I got the snakes instead. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I love you guys. And I'll tell you, this is just like handling snakes and rolling around on the carpet when you start walking in it, when you start doing it. Now, I'm saying some of you are already light years ahead of where you were when you first began. Others of us, it's a commandment of God for us to help those around us, right? That we speak faith into them, we speak confidence into them, we speak love into them, we're the can-do attitude to help them through until it clicks so that they can start manifesting these things too, amen? So we're there for one another so that we can all grow in this, amen? So stand up and let's pray. I want to let you go somewhat close to time. Father, I just thank you for everyone here in this room with me and also that can hear me now in Jesus' name. Father, your word's been preached. Our hearts have been open. Our minds have been attentive, Lord. Father, I ask for this revelation to be cemented into our inner man and woman, Lord. That, Father, that these things would stay with us and work on us and remind us and bring us even closer to you. That Holy Spirit, that we see why patience is so important, that you can get down to the core of what we actually believe and whether we will obey you or not. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that in all of your wisdom and compassion that you would bring each one of us to a new level of growth in Jesus Christ. That each one of us can be firmly rooted and grounded in love so that there's nothing the devil could do to destabilize us, Lord. Lord, your word says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That we have to be vigilant against our enemy. That we have to be focused, that there really is evil in this world. And if it has its way, it will do what it can to defame us and to take us out, Lord. So, Lord, like you commanded your disciples to be gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents, that we would be loving and kind, but have our eyes wide open to what's going on around us, Lord. That, Father, we'd give you all the glory and all the praise and all that we have within us to worship you. Holy Spirit, show us the areas in our lives that we've been resistant to your leading, where we've been resistant to your teaching us the ways of God, to where our eyes have been closed to who you say we really are. Holy Spirit, I ask you that every one of us can be woken up from where we are this moment so that we can live in a new level of the revelation of Jesus Christ, a new level of your glory, a new level of loving others, that when this world is shaken, we will not be, because judgment begins with us, Lord, that we'd be stable, immovable, full of glory, that we would be a safe place for people to come to, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.